Coming up, we're going to go crazy with our TTT. That's our top travel tips for visiting Universal Orlando, live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. This is the Universal Edition of the Diz Unplugged. This is episode 87 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Let the experts at Dreams Unlimited Travel help you plan the perfect Universal vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I, of course, am your host, Craig Williams. That's me. Who else would it be? I do not know. Who could it be now?
Who could it? Who could it?
Who could it be now? Well, it could also be Rhino Clavin at the table.
Hello.
Hello.
I started early with the songs because I believe there was a complaint in the last episode that there wasn't enough singing. So
yeah, so we're going to increase the singing, but decrease the amount of derogatory things we're saying. So the critics have spoken, and apparently we're getting a little too loose with the language at some points. So we are going to
cheese and crackers.
We are going to channel that by singing a lot more.
Yeah, the rage goes into singing.
But also necessarily singing, not just like saying whatever we want to for the sake of saying whatever we want to. And someone who does say whatever he wants to and just doesn't give a darn on the controls, engineer of the day, Oliver Green.
Hello.
Hello.
The engineer makes me think of the engineers from, those were what the big people were called in Prometheus.
Mm.
The ones who created the alien.
Okay, that's been your top travel tip of the day from Rhino Clavin. Mm-hmm. Engineers, Prometheus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's, for some reason that movie just comes up quite often whenever we're talking, and I don't understand why. But, hey, that's it. We're all allowed to have our own favorite things.
I didn't say that was a favorite thing of mine. I'm sorry.
Well, you did. I believe you sang it in a few of your favorite things.
These are a few of my favorite things.
Wait, we have to get that harmony.
Prometheus.
When the dog bites.
When Prometheus. Wow. We are off. What?
Isn't it one Prometheus? Isn't that a Promethei?
I don't know.
A Prometheus.
I don't know.
A Prometheus.
Wow. Okay, we have just a fantastic show for you today, if I do say so myself. As, of course, we're all going to blow up getting an Amber Alert.
Good thing. Oh, hey, good test of all our phones being on silent, though.
Mine didn't do anything, so.
Oh, good.
Wow. So, if anyone was wondering, Oliver is the worst person.
So, any other person in Florida now, though, who is watching this live, I don't know if you're out there. If you are, why aren't you working? Or, B, why aren't you out visiting the parks having fun? Well, you just got an Amber Alert, too, as well. So, oh, my goodness. Just an exciting show, as I said at the top of it. Top travel tips. Of course, these are all our opinions. We don't actually travel long distances to Universal. So this is kind of a ballpark guesstimate on us on what we think are the best tips to help anyone just get the most out of their Universal vacation. Oliver might be able to provide a little bit more insight on the actual travel aspect of it, because he had to do that at one point in time.
That I did for many, many years. My mind's gone blank now. You're going to ask me some of those things later, and I'm not going to remember a single
one. God, I feel
like
you whisper whenever we ask you a question.
Sorry, I'll
like,
speak
we're
up.
We're speaking
I'll
at an audible level, and you're
it's
like,
probably because it's back here. It's because I can hear myself in my own. Do you know how, like, you both know? I'm asking you questions you do know the answer to. You both know how off-putting it is. So, I don't have a nice sounding voice.
Okay.
Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah, so as I always do before we really jump into things here, does anyone have any housekeeping to bring to the table? Nope. Besides all you annual pass holders, we talked about it last week or a couple weeks ago.
Sorry, I was going to sneeze, so I was trying to get away from the microphone.
Tomorrow is the day that plastic ticket distribution starts for your annual passes, so
make sure
you're out upgrading to plastic. Now you can ride the water attractions without worrying. What's going to happen to my pass?
That never even occurred to me, but you make a very good point there, Craig.
I use packaging tape to laminate my pass.
I hate so much the things you choose to be.
But I am excited to have a pass.
Yeah.
I call it a plastic pass. I'm sorry. I sound whatever. But yeah, I'm like super excited about this. It's finally like Universal's being like, you know what, pass holders, we've heard you.
Yeah.
It's a nice like step in the right direction. Here. Stupid and small, but
here. Just as I mean, kind of going in before. I've got a lot of housekeeping, and by housekeeping, it's news that I don't find intriguing enough to do a whole buzz section over it. But it's definitely some of these things are worth a mention, like the annual passes, getting the upgrade to plastic starting this weekend, Wednesday. I mentioned it on the Daily Fix yesterday. If you weren't watching that though.
What is that noise?
It's finally the Amber Alert.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's so finally Oliver's Amber
I'll
Alert.
I'll take it back. Oliver's okay then.
It wasn't either of my... Oh, it was. I apologize.
Yeah.
I'm just a bit behind. It's the time difference.
You're okay. It's fine. we apologize for all this Amber Alert emergencies here, but it's not something to be taken
lightly.
Yeah, so... all you annual pass holders out there, after you get your plastic annual passes this weekend, remember, I talked about it yesterday on The Fix, and I'll mention it again, Warcraft screening coming up this Wednesday. If you listen to our show about our big Kong-sized summer preview, you know how pumped we were for Warcraft.
Duncan Jones, bruh. David Bowie's son.
However, for some reason...
That's as excited as I get.
We are... still going to attempt to go to this screening.
Yep, I don't, because we like punishment. Gluttons for punishment.
We like punishment, and then we are also in... Oh, my apologies.
Everybody's off the rails today. This is unprofessional.
We have the blessing of having a career where at Wednesday on a 3 o'clock, we could technically be doing nothing to go pick up passes for a movie that then is being played at a normal time. I know it'll be more difficult for annual pass holders who actually have a 9-to-5 job, per se. So, but we can't. I need to see it if it's for free
as part
of an annual pass perk. So, again, I think Universal's going to really start upping their game with what annual pass holders actually get. I think they are going to actually even go over top of Disney World, because Disneyland treats their annual pass holders really well. There's always lots of fun perks, and then even Universal Studios Hollywood. I never was able to attend any of the events that they had for annual pass holders, but whenever I was a pass holder for USH, I always got I always received emails about annual pass events. So even they did a good job with it. Universal Orlando starting to up their game. Disney World still sucking at it.
Yeah, I don't know. They're like, here's a discount to this one thing that we're actually going to give this discount to everybody too.
Oh, sorry. At Flower and Garden, we did get a bunch of awesome prints that I only got the first one,
yeah,
and it is crumpled up somewhere else.
You know, if you went on the last day, I don't know whether I just got lucky. They were just giving you. Every single, all three of them.
Yeah.
If you just went on that, so there's no point.
What else are they going to do
with
them?
Food and wine, they did the glass too. I forgot about that.
That one was cool, but apparently it was like a port sized glass. So it's just a little tiny baby glass.
It was a responsible wine drinker's glass. But you could get as many as you wanted. They didn't limit it. So you could get a whole set.
It was the size of a bottle. That's how I.
Share the joke?
No.
We can't.
A responsible wine drinker would have a bottle-sized glass, because everyone knows it's good for your heart to drink one bottle of wine a day.
Yeah.
As long as it's red.
Yeah, it's yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's coming up for annual pass holders there. Very, very exciting. And part of this segment, I'm still not done with the housekeeping. Again, not really housekeeping, so let's not call it that. But part of the thing I'm seeing a lot of in our chat today, there's some questions popping up about food allergies, reservation line, about food allergies, families, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We'll try to throw these in here as much as we can without derailing things too much, but... We will get in on it. And if you want to know what the joke is, just read some of the names of people in chat, and you'll get the joke. Remember, we are children. And for everyone listening out there, not watching this later, this is a very good reason why you should check out video shows, especially live ones every once in a while. Okie dokie. Where are we in this mess? Oh, well, we got an email that I wanted to bring up earlier. Did I just delete that email?
You didn't tell me about it, so
I didn't.
If you did, I
got it. So we got a an email from Stephanie Morrell. Sorry, or Stefan. Sorry, as soon as it's
S Morrell, we got an email from an S Morrell.
We got an email from a viewer/listener, someone out there, and it wasn't to. It was to our normal podcast account, but someone said, "I like Universal. I do. Harry Potter really brought it." But we were there last March, and we're done with both parks in one day. Are the numbers really there for a third gate? First off, depending on when you go in March, if it was like the week before spring break, of course you'll get everything done in one day. It's very easy especially if you're a good planner. You don't even have to be a good planner. You just have to time things right. You can get everything done plus re-rides in one day.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, too, is a company's not going to invest in a third park just to invest in a third park. They're not just doing it to be like, well, now we've got three. It's clearly like they wouldn't have purchased land to then build, you know, a multi-million dollar park if they didn't have some sort of justification in there somewhere. The problem is that the parks where they are right now are just so landlocked that they're being very innovative with the space they have, and that therefore eats up stuff repeatedly. And so they're trying to give you a – just think. They're probably just trying to make their game – up their game even further than they already have. And so the only way for them to do that is to get more space.
Yeah, and we're talking about space specifically for a third park. They have still space on there for smaller expansions to make the parks potentially a little bit wider, a little bit deeper, and also, they have room for more hotels for sure in there. Not massive hotels, but definitely hotels nonetheless. I know this because we were told by people at Universal that there is more room for hotels on property.
Yeah.
Without even leaving. So,
I can't follow along.
Okay.
With this chat room at all anymore, so I don't even know why I have my computer open.
So
anyway,
so back to the issue at hand of is it really necessary for an extra park? Yeah, it absolutely is. The parks are starting to pick up in terms of their market share, as we saw last week with the TIA AECOM theme park index that was released.
I did just remember something, but I don't know if you're going to bring it up in a little bit about the train, the rail station.
Yeah, that's the whole segue into that.
Okay, that's right. Okay, that's right.
So Universal's market share is quickly rising. It's not getting the numbers of Magic Kingdom still. It's not getting 20 million visitors a year for USF. But again, I've said it before, it can't hold the same capacity that Magic Kingdom
can.
What is
the capacity of, like, studios?
The capacity of studios? On a daily basis, I think the max out is, like, around 55 is that they could hold in there.
Yeah.
And so on a slow day, you're going to look at about, like, 9,000-10,000 a day, and on a busy day you're going to probably be looking in the high 20s, low 30s, and then obviously a peak period would be up in the 40s, but not pushing capacity. I mean, it's normal theme park. That's what it was like at Epcot whenever I first started working there. I was like, oh my gosh.
Like at Hollywood Studios.
It was like, it's so busy. We're projected 15,000 people today. That's so many people. And then once you start working for theme parks longer, then you finally realize like, oh, that's very slow. That's,
you know what puts it in perspective minimal. For me? On a slow day at Hollywood Studios, the average attendance is probably, on the slowest of days, is like 12,000. And I had to do a project about my hometown, how many people live in it. God, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And it's like right under 12,000. And so on any given day, the slowest of days, my entire town is inside of one theme park down here. Just to put that into perspective yeah. about the amount of people. So that's a slow day. So yeah. if you're, you know, you don't want to... I like that Universal's being proactive about this and not waiting until their capacity is at the point where they can't – it's just spilling over every – where it ruins the experience for everybody where it's too full.
Yeah, and there are multiple benefits of doing a third park, and that is, A, they are going to have to build it on the land that they just recently purchased a mm-hmm. couple months ago. That's the only option for them. And then once you have three parks, that means unless it's really slow and people are very good at maximizing their time and they can get IOA and USF done thoroughly to their liking in one day, they would still have to add in that second day to be able to get to the third gate. It's no longer where they could just, you know, they have it all done right there. Now with the addition of a third park, even if you are the best planner, I don't think it would be possible to do it all in just one day.
And even then doing the two in one day, it's a little exhausting. It's not something that like, yeah, you could probably do it. And like you said, get a couple re-rides in there and stuff like that. But I mean, the trend that Universal is going for right now, like Diagon Alley alone, like you could get everything done, but you're not going to be able to spend any time in there and enjoy the stuff. You know, it's kind of like you're going in, getting out, moving on.
Yeah, you don't get you don't get the experience that comes in terms of immersive theming. We talk about immersive theming so much and how beautiful it is, but if you don't let yourself get immersed in it, then what is the point of it? The same could be said about Diagon Alley, also Hogsmeade. Yeah. The same could be said about Cars Land out in Disney California Adventure. It's all pretty to look at, but give yourself a couple minutes.
Have an experience.
And by a couple minutes, I mean a couple hours. Just really dig deep. If you don't do that, I can't honestly say you have done Universal fully. Maybe you did it on a past trip. And this next one you're going on, you feel like you don't need to do that and you can just go ride. That's your prerogative. But regardless, prerogative. I think that adding a third gate all of a sudden will then take away from people definitely spending more time at Disney. That's a given. But then it might shift into maybe I'm staying on Universal property more because there's more to do now. Why do I need to just stay at Disney and travel over for the day? I'll give Universal its own shot, and it honestly deserves it. And that leads us into the aspect that I was going to talk about that Rhino so nicely brought up before is right now there are rumors that there will be some type of potential monorail or transportation system hub being built to help make all of this actually work and actually happen.
And I'll tell you why this is awesome for more reasons than just being like, anybody who makes the argument that, oh, they're trying to be like Disney, you're foolish, because what they're trying to do is alleviate they're helping themselves, they're helping the people that live here, and they're helping everybody by doing this, because what they're going to be able to do is streamline how they get people from place to place. And if you've ever driven around where that land is that they purchased, or this area in general, by no fault of Universal's, but this is a terrible congested area, and the road can't be expanded because it's literally stuff all on one street, stuff all on the street across from it, and it's already only like two or three lanes. And it so by them building something that maybe goes above everything and transports it, I think it's going to alleviate so much traffic through that area, and it's going to make traveling from park to park so much smoother.
And it's just going to make Universal Orlando so much cooler,
yeah,
in general, having this whole system set
up. Yeah, I would love to be in a world where we're just driving and there's trains and stuff going above us like that. And that's something that for me is a plus Like, I look forward to it. Unlike the expansion on I-4, which feels like a nightmare to me, but
yeah.
Keep just, you know, fingers crossed it's all for the better. But there's another thing I forgot that I just read the other day, too. I don't know if this counts. Do you even know where this is going?
Yeah, that's over on Disney. Oh. That's off of 192.
I thought this was going with a Nickelodeon hotel. Sorry.
No.
What is it?
No, that's a Holiday Inn.
It's a Margaritaville.
The Nickelodeon hotel just closed, not closed, but just rethemed as of yesterday. It is now
officially.
It's now officially just Holiday Inn Suites, and they are moving the time capsule that once was at Universal Orlando to Hollywood.
I didn't know they had a time capsule. Oh.
Yeah, the time capsule was out right outside of Nickelodeon Studios, and then when they built Nick Hotel and, you know, everything
went
wayside in Universal,
it's on this side.
They moved it there. Yeah, so now it's going over to California.
That's too bad. The official last presence of Nickelodeon kind of over here. Right? Because there's no Nickelodeon-themed anything in the park. Well, SpongeBob is still there. Yeah. I would hope that maybe with the new park they'll re-expand
Dora the Explorer.
The Nickelodeon thing, only solely because the Power Rangers are on Nickelodeon now.
Come on, Vamanos.
You know the Power Rangers are never going to make it to Universal.
They made it to Disney. They can make it to Universal.
I highly doubt it.
We'll see.
Sorry to crush your dreams.
You've crushed nothing. We'll see.
Yeah. So, and then I think it's worth a mention because it was mentioned on the Daily Fix the other day. How does Universal afford to do all these fun things? Well, it's because Comcast is they're extremely rich and they are extremely profitable by offering. Some people don't like their cable services that they do offer, but they also make money by actually going to the by people going to the theme parks. And now, if you are traveling to Universal Orlando and you weren't smart enough to buy your tickets ahead of time, you now have to actually be worried about seasonal tier pricing because that is now a thing. So if you show up at the park at the last second to get your ticket for a one-day, one-park ticket, you're now going to spend $14 more. It's $169 than if you would have just bought it online ahead of time. So, and the same goes for a one-day, one-park ticket. It's also up $14 from what you would purchase online. And that's kind of the only details we have about that right now. They didn't release what the actual schedule was of what days would be peak days and what would be slow days. So we have absolutely no idea. But again, just save yourself some time.
Get the pass.
Get the pass ahead of time. Unless it's really one of those things where you're like, I have no idea if I'm going to go or not, so I just have to wait until I'm there. Then I understand that. But otherwise, there's no reason. If you know you're going, don't buy your tickets once you're there. That's silly. It's silly and irresponsible.
Be a responsible traveler. Plan your vacation.
Don't steal and people's potato chips. And book with Dreams Unlimited
travel. Did you take my potato chips?
Good. So
there were 35 in here.
There were. So that was a tip right there. That was definitely a tip, for sure. So let's keep going with our tips now. Our top travel tips, TTT.
I can start because I've got one off the back of tickets as well.
Go ahead, please. Thank you.
So, with the tickets, I would say make sure you get the multi-part tickets, because if you get just the one-day ticket, you're going to restrict yourself from the Hogwarts Express, mm-hmm. which is an attraction in itself. So even if you were planning on doing one part one day and one part the other, make sure you don't get the single-day tickets. Make sure you get the multi-day tickets, because on either of your 2 days, you won't be able to ride the train in between. So that's a whole attraction that's definitely worth not missing.
Well, and
you'd be missing out on.
On top of that, the train is a different experience going both ways.
So it is.
Not only do you miss out, it's not like, oh, well, it's just the one trip. It's you get two different, you got to go both ways. So you're right.
I've got to ask you something, because I know that whenever you came to us, you came in with the idea of, I'm not just a Disney fan or a Universal fan. I'm a theme park fan, especially with like Busch Gardens and all that. Mm-hmm. Whenever you would travel, did you ever do like the big ticket that also included Busch Gardens and SeaWorld and Wet n' Wild?
I certainly did. I believe you're referring to, it was either called, I can't remember the exact name, it was either the Flex Pass or
the
Flex Pass.
Yes, the Orlando Flex Pass. Yep. And Flex Pass Puss.
Yes.
Not pus.
The pus
comes out of places.
The plus was referring to Busch Gardens, I believe, at the time, which you could add on. That used to be like the favorite. If you weren't doing Disney, that was the favorite one to get because it was just an amazing value. And if I remember correctly, I think it was only available to like foreign
I believe
visitors.
Anyone can purchase it anymore, but that leads into that question of, are you going to maximize your money out of it? Are you staying here long enough? So it definitely makes more sense for foreign travelers who are spending quite a bit more time in the area than it would for normal American vacationers going between like 5 and 7 days.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you can tell straight the way it's made for foreign travelers. Because again, it's been a while since I bought one, but I'm pretty sure it's not changed. It lasts for 14 consecutive days. From the first day of use, you can go to basically any major theme park in the Orlando area that isn't Disney for 14 days.
Which is nuts. As you want. It's like essentially a temporary annual pass for all of that, which I would choose to just go to Wet n Wild over and over again. Why wouldn't you?
I have many reasons, but the show normally only lasts for an hour, so we won't go over them.
Fantastic. So, in terms of tips... I guess I won't go to Rhino right now because he's typing.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm going to let you type.
I can give you a parking tip.
Go.
Oh, go.
Craig brought it up to me yesterday, and I complain every time I do it. I would say if you're coming, you're driving, and you're going to park here, don't pay for preferred parking. I feel like it's a ruse. It puts you on the same level that everybody comes, like where all the walkways are and everything, which is the third level of the parking garage.
Yeah.
However, whenever I end up in preferred parking, I end all the way up in Jaws, which is in the farthest parking garage, in the farthest row. So you have to walk a lot more than, like, let's say I was on the fifth level, but in the closer parking garage, I just come down the steps and go. So
yeah,
I'd say it's not worth it.
I'll definitely jump on that bandwagon since I'm the one who said it. Typically in that... On that third level, too, is where all the handicap parking is at the closest. So sometimes, though, this does vary where I've seen preferred parking go on either like the second level or the fourth level and be primarily as close as possible. And then you just go down. Yeah. Lately, though, the past months, it's always been on that third level. But then you could be all the way at the end. Yeah. And I am...
That doesn't seem very preferred to me.
I am one of those people who absolutely despises anyone who gets on a moving walkway and doesn't move. I've said it before. I will say it again.
It's in the title, a moving walkway.
Yes.
You know, don't just stand there. Or if you do, like, mate, you just stand to the left or the right. Just get out of the way.
The whole point is that the moving walkway is supposed to be cutting down the amount of time it takes you to go that long distance. And you just standing there. And I understand. You've walked a lot. You've been in the theme park. I get it. But you'll be able to sit down very soon. Sooner if you kept walking.
And that's still not my biggest peeve with those moving walkways. It's the people that step off and move at a slower rate than the walkway moves. So you have to do the weird dance around them, and I hate that.
I love when they just stop completely, and you're just like, oh, no. Like, it's just everything's going to happen here.
Yeah, I'm in the mindset of I am blessed to have mobility that I can walk. Why would I ever not take full advantage of that?
And that's actually, I should point that out now. When I say these people, like, they don't walk off the end, these are able-bodied people. I don't want anyone to think I'm being horrible and, like, the people are struggling. I get that. Some people do need that extra help. These are able-bodied people that just won't walk. They're not thinking.
And the other thing is, too, is that the walkways aren't supposed to have strollers or any, like, vehicles on them. So no ECVs or anything like that, electronic vehicles, walkers, strollers, any of that stuff. So those people also who, like, I watch them look at the sign. I see them look right at the picture, and then they go. What's the matter?
Nothing.
Is it?
I don't know. It could be a stranger. I don't know. I've just seen it.
What?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, is there someone in the window behind
not-
me?
Yeah,
there's a ghost in the window. Yeah.
No, it's just haunted.
There's someone currently in our live chat room with the name Ollie's mom. And
I don't know.
Wondering if that
I don't know whether it's
Oliver's mother.
I don't know whether it's actually my mom or an insult. Like, it could be either way.
It could.
Oh,
well,
so yeah, for people out there who are listening, the question was brought up, but with this whole this, should you do preferred parking? Well, the Premier Pass, the Premier Annual Pass, does include it for free as well as complimentary valet. But sometimes it's, you have to make that decision. You can still use your free Premier parking in that sense, and you could end up all the way down, or you could risk the gamble of not and just going regular parking and seeing where you end up.
Or that's... use your complimentary valet. But if you're going to do that, it's technically you're going to still be paying for something because you should be tipping those people.
Yeah, you should be tipping. And I don't carry cash on me, so I never, unless... Yeah,
I can only go if I do have cash. If I don't have cash, I'm walking. Yeah. Well, I usually, if I'm in a rush, that's usually when I valet. Because it comes out too. A lot closer to the... It comes out near where, like, the mini golf is.
It goes back to my principle. Why shouldn't I walk? I can walk. I deserve to walk. So where am I going with this one? Oh, with my next tip. This is not really a plug for the hotels. We talk about how much we love the hotels. And we've talked about this feature before. But I think it's going to be more... it's going to be something that is more and more important now with the addition of Sapphire Falls this summer, as well as just with the opening of Kong and everything else that's opening up in the future. But I think it's going to get to the point where staying on site to have that extra hour early is going to be an absolute necessity.
Yeah.
Because now we're adding a brand new hotel in here where we have even more people who are able to get into the Wizarding World of Harry Potter early, and maybe they'll change that to Kong. Maybe they'll change it to Hulk once it.
Oh yeah, so
once it opens back
there'll
up,
there'll be some variety.
Yeah, it could be a lot, but the thing is though is that all these we're gonna increase the capacity of the guests on property, so those extra mornings are already gonna be slightly busy, and then you add in the people who are coming during the day. It's just going to get massively, massively worse. So,
well, what I love too is my mentality is that if I get up early, if I'm staying in the hotel and I get up early and I take advantage of that that extra hour, you know, extra morning, I allow myself the midday nap. So it says, okay, I'm getting out. I've left the hotel room. I got in there early, but you know what? If you're in most of the hotels there, you can just kind of walk back to your room if you want, or take transportation or whatever. But it's that nice. It works in many layers throughout the day, besides just that extra. Is it?
And,
really? Is it really?
Carry on, Craig.
Sure, if your mother is actually in the chat room right now or not.
Is it just from one of the last two things I've read? I'm quite confident.
You're verifying it.
Yeah.
It's okay. Your mom's around all the time. Usually in it. She's not. I don't think she's in here today. I haven't seen her.
She's not got the screen name Craig's mom.
No, but everyone knows who Chris Williams is. She is like an unofficial Diz celebrity, especially at our Diz Unplugged Give Kids the World meets. Going with what you said, being able to go back and take a break in the middle of the afternoon, that is a huge thing. That, you know, people that go to Disney parks, they always talk about the best way to really maximize what you're doing in the day is get there early, go back, take a break, and then go at night and be able to stay for the long haul. Same thing's true at Universal. Another tip that I have with that is, as much as we just talked about, go to the early entry. I think Universal is definitely a place to experience at night whenever the hours are agreeable with that. So like a lot of times in slower periods, Universal doesn't just stay open until 9, 10 o'clock because they can. They'll close at 7 o'clock, or if they can sell the park out for an event, then they'll close early and do that because, well, why not? It makes sense. It also, this does happen at Disney too, just a lot more conspicuously. It's not as outright noticeable as
I can't do it with how we're clear.
This is just going off the rails.
This is terrible. I don't even I want to look away, but
someone,
I can't not.
Someone who would is for Guy the record, Fieri Guy dad? Fieri is Guy Fieri. Fieri. He is like my most hated celebrity chef, if you can't even call him that. This is all just going off the rails. So,
oh, buddy.
This is why someone that's not on the show should be monitoring.
Yeah,
and not us. Okie dokie, you're cutting it close there.
But yeah, I think was your tip to check the times? Because that was going to be my next tip. Because I was going to say, you brought it up in your tip that the closing times of the parks fluctuate frequently.
Yeah, no, they absolutely
do. I live right next door, and I always never know. It could be 7, it could be 8, it could be 9.
Yeah, and that's it's more of a concern, again, during slower times of the year. That's whenever they will have kind of messy park hours. Once you get into the summer period, definitely Memorial Day through June, through the rest of through August into September, that's whenever you're going to see the park being open till 9 or 10 o'clock, basically every night. So that you can rely on. Throughout the rest of the year, though, it's a mixed bag. And there are some times during the slower points of the year when the time change is kind of funky that, you know, you might want to see Universal Studios at night, or you might want to see IOA at night. There's a chance if it closes at 7 o'clock and based on the time of year, it will still be light outside when the park closes. So you definitely have to kind of watch what's happening and manage your expectations in that. I think Islands of Adventure, until this past weekend when Animal Kingdom started their nighttime activities, Islands of Adventure was my favorite park in Orlando to go to at night. It is absolutely beautiful.
I like being there when the sun sets, because I feel like, yeah, like with the Hulk, when the roller coaster is going and you kind of stand near the water and the sun setting there, it has a lot of really cool looking silhouette, you know, it's when very well designed.
Especially when you stand back where Jurassic Park is and you look out over it, when you get that whole, like, that's really nice. That's
fantastic, absolutely.
Landscape.
No, during sunset into nighttime, I think it is just a beautiful park. Not to say that studios or any of the other parks in Orlando aren't, because I mean these are all professionally lit. It's not going to a carnival and seeing it at night.
Right,
it's not like that. You guys know.
You've all been there. You can't see the unsafe things happening.
Yeah, you've been there. You know what we're talking about. But it's something that if you're a first time visitor coming to Universal and you want that, you know, you got to make sure you plan for it right, because you have to see these parks at night. They are absolutely beautiful. And then let's say you aren't staying on property. You need a break in the middle of the day. Most people will plan a meal around that. Well, my tip in that regard is don't stay in the theme parks to eat. We've talked about how much we love fast food.
That's a really good tip.
Fast Food Boulevard.
Fast Food Boulevard.
We've talked about how much we love the Leaky Cauldron and Three Broomsticks. We've mentioned all of this. However, whenever I would like come with my parents, we tried our best to go outside into City Walk to eat if we could, because that really does help break up the day. Not only could it be helpful between like switching parks, saying, okay, I'm going to leave that park, go over to the other one, I'll stop and have a bite on the way. It's just nice to get out of there.
Yeah.
And considering how much we love the food dining options in City Walk,
oh yeah,
you'd be a moron not to.
Well, that's the tip. Don't be a moron.
Don't be dumb.
Don't be dumb. Eat out. Yeah, I would agree with that, especially if you're going to do it, like, you know, I can't help this, but whenever I think of City Walk, I think of eating at night, and I would say take advantage of going during the day when the crowds are a lot lighter at, like, NBC Sports Bar and Grill.
Brill and Grew.
And you know, or Cowfish or any of these places, you can pretty much just get sat right away in them and enjoy the same meal that you would have at night.
Yeah.
But I would... On that note, too, I would say that the NBC place is really nice to eat during the day, too. Another sunset place. There's a lot of great places to enjoy at sunset. That's my tip, too. You know, people talk about doing just the one day, but I think that if you allow yourself the multiple days, you'll experience the park in new light, literally and figuratively. I don't know. For me, parks come alive at different times of day. And
yeah,
I think that time of day is a lot of fun at Universal.
Getting that magic hour.
The dusk.
It's just beautiful. I love it. Speaking of dining, I want to bring up now where we had some of the questions earlier in chat about actual dining with allergies and stuff. I'm not an expert at it. I can't speak too highly, but I can speak highly enough considering my wife is severely allergic. My Borat wife is seriously allergic to shellfish, peanuts, tree nuts, multiple other things. Universal Orlando is just as good as Disney in terms of how they handle allergies, if not better. I feel like anytime we went to Disney and had to deal with her food allergies, it almost felt like the entire wait staff would kind of talk down to her in terms of like, yeah. I need you to be extra sure that you're okay with this. I need you very to really dismissive. Know. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, it's because they do care, which I don't want to say it in a negative way. They really care. They don't want to see anything happen to anyone. B, it's also a very big liability if they do screw something up.
Well, you know how they know they care too is even when we stayed at the when we just stayed at a hotel, they asked us every meal. I remember very vividly of them handing us a menu and immediately saying, "Do we have any food allergies today?" And not in a mean way or whatever. They would even draw our attention to some stuff that would say like, "This is gluten free stuff."
And
this is,
you know, Disney's starting to go on with that. They added in the allergy menus so you can see what food would work with the allergies you have, and then they still do offer the option of, well, you can pick something off this, or you can speak with a chef if you feel more comfortable. And I like how they're handling things now, not beyond what they did before. Before, it did always come off to me like, you know, it's, you don't, I'm not, don't treat me different because I have an allergy. Just work with me, please. Whereas Universal, I feel like they are on the same page of how Disney is now. Like, please let me know, obviously. I need to know if there's anything so we can make this the best experience you have. But at the same time, too, if, you know, I will try to take care of it as much as possible. If you feel like you need to speak with a chef, we can definitely take care of that. They're awesome. There's to be the best at guest service, which is something that Universal wants to be.
Yeah.
Their motto isn't make sure we have the most people coming, make sure people have the most fun. They just want to give guests the best experience and make sure they have the best experience possible at all. And, that's how they strive to be. So, of course, they are going to do everything they can with it. And that led into another question. Can you talk about it when you call Universal's reservation line to speak about food allergies? Well, that won't do you any good because Universal, better than Disney in terms of dining, because you don't have to make reservations out ahead of time to actually get into Universal restaurants. They do have restaurants on property where you can book dining. And if you're staying on site, you have the option to actually move to the front of the line to get reservations. You get priority access, but you honestly don't need to ever do anything with it. It's easy peasy. You just walk up for the most part, unless it's a really busy time, and you can get sat anywhere. I've only ever had to wait maybe a half an hour for the longest, and all of the restaurants usually that you have to wait at are set up with the system where you give them your phone number and they text you as soon as your table's ready, and so you can just go wander. You don't have to worry about buzzers or going too far, anything
like
that.
It's
amazing. I love it.
I've 45 minutes is the most I've had to wait this year, and that was at one of the busier times that we've had so far this year. So that was at Mythos as well. So,
right, where was it?
Mythos.
Yes, there are still places like Mythos. Absolutely, get a reservation from there.
Well, my point is, unlike Disney, there's certain restaurants in Disney it takes 6 months to get a reservation for. You can still eat on the same day. You know, 45 minutes is a good amount of time. You can go off, do something quick, come back, and your reservation's ready. So,
yeah, and I would even argue that some of the restaurants that we don't prefer are the ones that you would need a reservation for, whereas the good ones, you can almost always walk up and be fine or have to wait 20 to 30 minutes, and it's far worth it to do that than to try to stress out about reservations. Just don't. That's Universal's better for that reason. They know how to do dining. So, any other tips, guys? Anything. Come on. Throw them out there.
Gosh, I don't. I feel like we haven't had given like a ride tip. I mean, I always give my tip of if you have any sort of a motion sickness issue whatsoever, take your Dramamine before you go. Better safe than sorry. My tip my extra tip there is that if you forget it, don't worry, because at any of the first aid stations, they'll give you some. But remember, 45 minutes to an hour before you do any of that. If you've already gone on the ride and you feel sick, the damage is done, unfortunately. So I just say that's my tip there. Better safe than sorry, so that way you can enjoy your meals and everything.
Oliver, you're up.
I have a tip that I feel it's really obvious, but people often forget. Take as little into the park with you as humanly possible.
Yes.
So I'm talking like you don't need much. You need your pass, you need your credit or debit card, and you need your photo identification. And once you have that, you're pretty much set to enjoy your day at the park. You don't need much more. You might take a cell phone as well, but be prepared that a cell phone is something that you would have to put into a locker if you wanted to go on certain attractions.
Here's my tip, Absatch.
Absatch.
Wear an Absatch.
What's an Absatch?
Oh my God. Did you watch the show before we hired you? How dare you?
I forget things.
I'm going to make you wear the Absatch from now on when we go to the park.
You don't forget about Absatch. You don't steal people's potato chips.
Okay. Well, I've got a tip here too. I just thought of one. My tip is, so if you're a person like us who enjoys an adult beverage while you're wandering the parks, and I often feel like I do, especially in a hot summer day. Well, one tip, drink water, because make sure you're hydrating there. It happens really quickly without you knowing. But I would say my tip is Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure and City Walk offer some very unique drinking options that don't go for the standard.
Yeah.
Don't just grab the Yingling or Bud Light or anything like that. Like, go to the Harry Potter area. They have specific brews just there. Go to Simpsons, get a Duff beer, you know. At City Walk, they have the souvenir Fat Tuesdays has a souvenir thing that you can then get refilled for less than it would be to buy another drink. And they make some really cool frozen drinks that are also very good when it's really hot outside.
Yeah. But unless you just flat out aren't a beer drinker and, you know, you'll drink Bud Light and that's what you can stand and that's what you consider good beer and you don't like craft beer. If you don't like it, you know, obviously this doesn't apply to you as much, but if you are slightly adventurous with your beer, don't ever settle for Bud Light, Yingling, anything you can get anywhere in the world. Go for something outrageous that they either brew there or a specialty drink. Just, there's so many good options. I want to go back to Oliver's on the bringing stuff into parks, because this is something that we don't talk about that often, but whenever, unless something big happens with it. But your idea actually is right on the money. Come with as little as possible. Something at Disney that you see more and more prevalent as photography and, you know, that whole social media push yourself to do better things in there gets bigger is people bring in tripods all the time to Disney. Right now there's some rumblings about maybe they're going to get banned completely from being in there, but won't get on that because that has nothing to do with this right now. But at Universal, I don't recommend bringing it right away, not only because their security is a little stricter about what you're doing with it in there. Not all of them, just select people. But on the other side, if you're going to ride attractions that require the locker use, the lockers just aren't big enough to put in a tripod. So then you get in that situation, oh well, I can just leave it here and stick it up out of the way and hope that no one steals it, or you have to break up your group and do a rider swap on it. That makes things awkward.
Yeah.
Or if you're by yourself, then you're just SOL and
yeah,
don't know what to tell you at that point. But I can't say that. And then the same thing goes with people who overstuff backpacks and then try to shove them in the lockers. That does two things. One, it puts the stuff in your backpack at risk of being smashed, damaged, broken. And two, you're also looking at, you might damage the locker itself. And if anyone's been inside Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey on a day where the park is extremely busy and there is a long line, you start to run into the issue of, oh my gosh, there's running out of lockers. We're having this issue with that. And that's when you really screw people over, because, you know, sometimes they're broken, or if their bag's too big, oh well, I have to rent two lockers now and take stuff out of the bag, put it in this locker. Yeah. And then you just cause a giant headache for everyone. So please travel light. Remember, this vacation is about the memories and the experience, not about making sure you have every single little thing on you at all times.
I mean, I know what it's like when you're, well, I'm not a mother, but my, you know, my mom is she's a backpacker. She's got the backpack, you know, and when my brother and, my two nephews came down with my mom for my, college graduation, last year, or excuse me, the year before, it was their first trip to Disney, and it's the first time I've been with my mom to Disney with little kids since I was a little kid. And I was just like, Mom, you got to stop with the bag. Like, because it was the stroller, and then she had the bag. And I'm like, Mom, we're not, it's not the end of the world here. We don't need all this stuff. Like, I can understand you need, you got kids, you need your wet naps, you need stuff like that. But, you know, that's actually another benefit to staying on property. Some of that is within reach that you don't need to, you know, you don't have to Sherpa everything with you.
Yep.
Well, it's just, you know,
it's called soap and water. It's just as good.
There's bathrooms everywhere. Yeah. And you
sing
can get
happy
any,
birthday.
If there is something from your that you didn't bring today and you're like, oh my God, I absolutely need it, you can probably actually buy that in the park. I know it'll be more expensive than you need it, but just don't have that panic, you know.
So if you do bring your stuff, remember the lockers that you have to put stuff in, the ones like Forbidden Journey, Dragon Challenge, Mummy. Hulk, Mummy, the ones that require it, that you cannot have any loose articles. Those are always free for the time that you are in line and on the ride, plus a little bit of buffer time just in case anything would happen. And as I've said before in the past, if something does go wrong where it would go overtime, just speak to the smart cart person there, and they will be able to handle the situation the best that they can.
Well, and also a good thing to remember is that some rides that you think that would, you just don't get overly comfortable with those lockers, because if you just assume that there's a locker, like I always do for the Jurassic Park River Adventure, that does not actually, it's not a free locker.
And
so you'd have to bring that with you on the water.
That was going to be my final tip. The water attractions there, you are allowed to bring stuff on them. However,
I would not.
I would not take anything. Jurassic Park, if you're going to bring something expensive that could be damaged by water, make sure you're trying to sit in the middle of the boat and have as much coverage over top of it as possible. But if you're taking stuff on Popeye and Bluto's or Dudley Do-Right,
gosh, Dudley Do-Right's, yeah.
You're in for potential disaster with that. And then kind of going off on top of that with the water attractions, we've said it before, Universal, specifically Islands of Adventure, has three of the best water rides in Orlando as a whole, if not the best three. So there's a lot of tendencies between people. Do I go first thing in the morning, get it out of the way, and then dry all day? Do I go at night right before I'm leaving and then do that? If you're staying on property, you don't have to worry, because you can go back and change your clothes right away.
Maybe even just save those for the end of the day.
Yeah, or you save them for the end of the day. I recommend, though, that if you're there for one day, you don't have that hotel room. I'm a big proponent believer in do it first thing as early as possible, and then hope that by, you know, noon, the sun is going to be burning hot and cooling you down, or try to time it around the time that it's raining where you're going to get wet anyways. But you will get soaked on those attractions.
Yeah.
So please be smart about it.
Your phone will get wet.
There you go. What?
Now you won't forget.
It was Jurassic Park, but with an original song.
And the
Someone just brought up a tip that I didn't even think. I do this all the time. Severin Luna, if that's what it says. I can't read, but sandwich bags. Those are my number one thing. If I am ever going in the rain season here, which seems like 9 out of the 12 months living in this state, I will take two just sandwich Ziploc bags, and I'll put them in my back pocket. And so if a storm's coming or anything like that, I'll just put my cell phone in it. I will zip it up, put the wallet in the other one, and then that way, even because if you haven't been caught in a Florida rainstorm, you will literally get soaked. Your underpants are going to get soaked. Yeah. That's how wet you'll get. And it'll happen in 30 seconds. And so I'm very paranoid about my cell phone, but that always you know, puts my mind at ease knowing I just...
No, that's a great tip. My sister does the exact same thing all the time. Anytime I'm in a park with her, it could be the middle of day on a beautiful day.
Yeah.
And for some reason, she still has her phone sealed up and
she puts it in there premature. Yeah, okay. I just put them in my pocket.
It's always hilarious. you know, one of the many reasons why I love my sister so much. But that's going to lead me to my final tip, and the final tip we have for this. If you're looking at planning a Universal vacation, obviously you're listening to us potentially, and that's why you're doing it. But to get more tips, plenty more tips that will definitely help, go on to disboards.com. And it's not like a shameless plug for our site,
but
obviously.
But people that have gone there and experienced it, and it's kind of like they're spreading their knowledge of like how they move and, you know, what the best things are for them in a theme park.
Yeah, I feel like I still know a lot about Universal. I consider myself somewhat of an expert. I can never say that I'm a full expert just because that's not the type of person I am. But the people who run the Universal section on our boards are absolute geniuses. There is so much information in there, not usually with like rumors and stuff, but just on information about the rides, the restaurants, tips for how to make the most of your day. It is just packed full on our boards, as well as on all the other sections of the boards. That's where you're going to find tips like the bring sandwich bags if you've never thought about it before. Yeah. That's how these people passed around these information.
They've got like crazy things you never would have thought. Like there's something I looked at it once, and I know there was something with duct tape that I thought was really clever, just in like regular stuff, just like $2 stuff.
So that's our final tip. Use the boards to your, use the boards as much as possible. That's where a lot of the good of information is. So thank you guys for having this this conversation with me about our top travel tips for visiting Universal. I feel like maybe 6, perhaps even 7 people learned something today.
That seems to be all. The rest, it was all...
Yeah, the rest was...
Bad jokes.
Yeah, so I'm...
And this was the episode where we tried to clean it up.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead. Jeez. Again, this does not apply for the audio, but for the video people that are watching live, I'm almost disappointed that we kept our content clean, and you guys were so extremely dirty throughout the entire thing, but thanks for the laughs, at least. I guess I should say that. This has been a fun one, and again, very informational, so if you want more information on... just random crap, head over to disunplug.com, home of our show notes. You know, disunplug.com, again, for anyone that wasn't listening. We are the Blue Universal section. And if you want to see... Now listen up. Okay, that's over.
Here's a story.
We've got plenty of other things on there. You can find out information on the Disney World show, the Disneyland show, DisPop... This, that, and the other. You'll find all that at disunplug.com, as well as information on where to find all of our social medias for all the different crap that we do in the Disunplugged Universe podcast network type thing. What else? What else is there? Make sure that if you haven't hit that thumbs up button yet, make sure you do that. Subscribe to us on YouTube, on iTunes. Leave us reviews. Just interact with us. We have fun with this. I enjoy it. We might have a review coming up for Universal very soon on Dispop, I believe. Are we going to go do Popstar?
We definitely need to do that. If that falls under the Universal banner, I say we haven't reviewed any Universal movies yet, so it's time.
Comes out tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm excited. So
we should go right after the show on tomorrow.
Maybe look for new content coming for Dispop that's Universal based, so that could be very fun. But again,
we could go see it and get our new passes tomorrow.
That could be an adventure.
Multitasking.
We could vlog the entire movie.
We're giving each other tips. Oh, my God.
No. Stop. Okay, thank you, guys. Thank you, everyone out there. We'll be back with you next week for another episode of the Dis Unplugged Universal Edition. Maybe also our resolutions.
Oh, sugar. Just going to stay here.
There we are.
We're going to hold it. Okay. We're going to hold it. Resolution to Universal.